Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Rummage actually follows me on that one. I don't know how he found me.
And James Strebel.
But he found me on that one. I was nice and followed him back.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You want to try? How has the connection been the last few minutes?
Crystal clear for my mistakes.
I mean, it's okay. It's all right. It happens. Yeah, it's just a critical mistake you can't make. We weren't saying anything bad.
No, we weren't. No.
Thank goodness.
I was giving up Blankenbaker hot take. Blankenbaker, I'm coming after him in Santa Claus.
Blank made a mistake today, too.
Oh,
yeah.
He did, too?
Yeah. We'll get to that at some point.
Okay.
Well, yeah, let's just go ahead and let's try it, man. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and try the blitz. Do you need to call them?
Let me do that real quick. Young Ty Spalding.
We'll get a little Young Ty Spalding in here. All right, Wing Zone, guys. Let me tell you about Wing Zone. Thank you to Adam and his staff dropping off some catering today. We always appreciate them. You know the madness deal, 20 boneless wings and a large wedge for $15.99. Lunch, dinner, catering, they got you covered today. WingZone.com. Check out the website. Not only this deal, tons of other deals as well. The three locations, Hikes Point, Poplar Level, and the new location at Dixie Highway. You know that one.
I do know that one, as well. Right by Smoothie King. There you go.
Yep. Get a smoothie and get some wings. I'm all about that.
Absolutely.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah, that's a great one.
WingZone.com. Again, that madness deal, 20 boneless wings and a large wedge for just $15.99. Also, if you want your technology, well, our TVs are fine here.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with RGB. We're doing great.
RGBHomeTheaters.com. Check them out online today. It's the free estimate. You can check out your most recent work or their most recent work. Personalized service. They'll take care of you today. RGBHomeTheaters.com. All right, let's jump into it. Ty Spalding joins us following the Louisville Cardinals for CardinalsSports.com. Ty, good afternoon, sir.
I didn't know if I was going to be making an appearance after the skipping and the hot mics and everything else, but I thought Furman may have just abandoned the ship, but sure enough, he gave me a call.
You damn right he did,
yes,
Ty.
He did.
You're damn right we're gonna thunder through until we give up, which could be at any moment. All right, so the season's over. You wanted to see movement recruiting-wise. You now see movement recruiting-wise. I guess your general thoughts here as Louisville's in on some kids. Trent Flowers tomorrow. Dennis Evans in the fold. What do you make of the entire thing?
Yeah, I mean, they are making some moves, but I am a bit surprised that we haven't seen the rest of the guys on the current roster enter the portal. And I'm a bit surprised that Sky Clark hasn't publicly announced in favor of Louisville yet. With that said, I do think that there are some good things going on. I think that they're in a good spot for Trenton Flowers. I do think that Sky Clark, it'll be just a matter of when, not if. And Dennis Evans, obviously, in the fold. I think that they've got a realistic chance at Carter Bryant. I think that obviously be for next year. But I think we're seeing some urgency, which is all you can ask. And what people have hoped for is just the urgency. I think we're seeing that to start the spring and summer talent acquisition period.
Who excites you here? I mean, obviously, you have a reclassification, which there's good and bad with that. You have Dennis Evans, who might be a little bit of a project, but again, I've never seen him play. You know, Sky Clark has absolute valid experience at a very high level. I don't know. What one or two guys are out there that you think are the ones here that could make that impact?
You know, I kind of groaned and moaned when you asked that question because it is a valid question. You know, obviously a Flowers reclassification, I don't know that that's going to be an instant impact. Sky Clark has been hit or miss. Dennis Evans obviously looks like he's going to be a work in progress. There just hasn't been a hot name yet that you would see as a needle mover. I saw last night that it was reported that Louisville reached out to Miles Studi from Vandy. I don't really understand that. It's another 6'7" wing. You know, when they've got, you know, five or six already of those same type of players. So I do want to see, I do like what they're doing, but I need to see more before I really start to get excited. There's still a little bit of hesitation in the back of my mind, and the Miles Studi contact they made last night was just made me pull back the strings a little bit on the excitement.
I'm sorry, you broke up there. What was it? What last night?
So they reached out to Miles Studi from Vandy.
Okay, gotcha.
And look, I just some of the stuff, like Miles Studi's 6'7", and they have five of those guys already in the fold. It's like they need guards. They need, you know, guards that can come in and make an impact. So what I was saying was that I do like what they're doing. There's just a little bit of me that's hesitant to really get really excited about this.
We got to get Ty Spalding excited.
We do. I think he's ready to go.
I don't like this. We got to get him excited. What about Carter Bryant? Will that get you excited? That might not be for next year.
I just, you know, it's just like you asked, like, which one of these guys do you think, you know, is a guy that can really get things going? And I don't know that a guy that could do that has committed or has been linked to Louisville yet. I think there's some nice pieces there being connected to Louisville, but I don't see a guy yet. And obviously some names will continue to emerge as teams get eliminated, but I'm just kind of keeping things in check for right now. Because like you said, Sky Clark or reclassification of Dennis Evans, those are nice pieces, but I don't know that they're needle movers just yet.
What other names are out there that, I mean, I know this is gossip, but what other names out there could you see them going after, if that's even fair to ask? I have no idea if it is or not.
I mean, I don't really know the boundaries of commenting on guys that are not in the portal. But I think most people are doing that anyways. And I don't think anybody is monitoring these airwaves that's going to report me and connect me back to any coaching staff. But I think, you know, obviously Davion McKnight from Western's out there. I do think that there's a couple of players on some teams in the Carolinas that have been mentioned. I've heard Caleb Love brought up a few times. I just think there's a lot to still play out, especially with guys like Rose Mueller not even entering the portal yet. I do think they're making some good things happen and some good progress, but I think we're in the very, very early stages of really judging this and really giving this a grade of how they did and how they've done acquiring new talent.
All right, quickly, Sidney Curry, not a surprise, unfortunately for him, whatever reason. He epitomized, I mean, this season, we thought he was going to be much better than he was. And again, I hate it for the kid, but it's unfortunately the truth. So what did you make there? And then, I don't know, some of the other guys, what do we think we're waiting for, I guess?
Yeah, no, that's what I've said a couple of times here is, like, you know, the Rose Wheelers of the world, like, you know, I think we all know that he's not going to be around, and it's just like, let's go ahead and get this ball rolling. With Sidney Curry, I just think some stuff going on off the court really hampered his ability to get in shape, really hampered his ability to get in the gym and continue to get better. You know, I you know, I've heard some different things. I don't really know for sure, so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But I do think some things happen. And look, you know, we're all human, and that, you know, that that certainly happens. But I just think it was a combination of off the court and just really a shame, because I do think that Sidney Curry at his best, and when he is in tip-top shape, I do think he can make an impact, you know, on a high mid-major team.
Ty Spalding Card, KnowlesSports.com. Following the cards. Appreciate the time, man. Take care. Enjoy the tournament.
All right. See you guys.
Kentucky.
All right. Almost said Xavier Wheeler. Cam Drummond joining us. Lexington Herald leader. Cam, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm coming to you from deep inside the bowels of Rupp Arena right now. A little boys Sweet 16
nice.
UK healthcare action, and trying to catch some of the tournament games while doing it. But happy to be still coming to you guys today.
Yeah, well, Virginia gave a game away against Furman. Maryland beat West Virginia. Kansas rolled against Howard. San Diego State, Charleston in a pretty close game here nearing halftime. So that's about what you've missed today. The news also, Xavier Wheeler practicing. Sounds like there's a really good chance he ends up playing tomorrow night. I don't know where to go with this. What do you think?
Yeah, I was about to say, obviously, Ben's holding the first down, you know, for the Herald leader in Greensboro, getting all the injury updates. It sounds like all four of the Kentucky guys are in pretty good movement, you know, pretty good shape, and should be available to play tomorrow. I know you mentioned Xavier Wheeler, but also C.J. Frederick seems to be moving, you know, better than he has in recent weeks. Cason Walls was able to go, you know, full bore in practice this week after being held out a bit last week before the SEC tournament, and the same case with Jacob Toppin. But yeah, the Xavier Wheeler question becomes a pretty pertinent one for John Calipari and all the UK fans out there, right? I mean, you got to think about, first off, how much do you play him if you choose to play him at all? The moments of the game where you decide Kentucky needs to switch things up, floor general wise, you know, switch pace up or speed things down or slow things down. So there's going to be a lot of kind of levers and push pull things that John Calipari and his coaching staff are going to have to think about here through the next couple, hours and really 24 hours before the game prep gets started. And also just the fact of, is Xavier Wheeler going to be able to have that same cohesion and chemistry and flow with his teammates after being out for so long? I mean, he's been out of practice for a while as well. He's only recently returned to doing that.
Yeah, a month and a half.
Just how he's utilized by the coaching staff in what situations, but also just how rusty, you know, he looks on the court, or if he doesn't look rusty, that's, you know, obviously the end scenario that Kentucky's hoping for. But just how long can you keep a guy out and then just thrust him into what should be a pretty helter-skelter NCAA tournament game as well, you know, a high-pressure game for Kentucky, given what's happened this season. Be interesting to see how he responds when his number's called.
This is a interesting combination, maybe, of desperation and necessity. You could say, well, it's desperate, but it's also, well, I mean, CJ has given you a zero, right, for months. I mean, CJ has not been available, you know, for whatever reason, or not had the numbers. Cason Wallace isn't right, did not look right a week ago. So it's like, you can call desperation fine. The guy hasn't played in 7 weeks. It's also a necessity. You're a six seed. You might as well.
I think that's actually an excellent way of putting it. I never really thought about that idea of desperation and necessity kind of coexisting with this scenario. But, I mean, you're bang on with that, right? Just the fact that if Kentucky was doing well, Xavier Wheeler playing in the NCAA tournament wouldn't be a possibility. And obviously, Kentucky has found life without Xavier Wheeler and only Cason Wallace, you know, kind of rocky, kind of up and down. Not to mention the fact that Cason Wallace has played through injuries throughout the vast majority of this season and basically all of SEC play. So, it becomes a question of, how desperate are you if you're Kentucky, right? You know, if Providence gets on a run out of the gate, this automatically becomes a 12-10 type ball game. Are you going to the bullpen? Are you going to Xavier Wheeler, you know, that quick? Are you waiting for maybe a more mundane time in the game to throw him in? I mean, this is obviously something that Kentucky's only talking about it and thinking about because things have not gone well this season, and in particular when Xavier Wheeler hasn't been an option to play, you know, at least being available, things haven't gone well in the backcourt, you know, especially with C.J. Frederick playing through injury, Cason Walls playing through injury. So, yeah, this is definitely a kind of break glass in case of emergency scenario, and John Calipari is getting that fire extinguisher out right now.
Why did you pick Providence?
That's a good question. I do not have the faith or the belief in Kentucky from a game to game consistency standpoint this season. And I may very well be wrong. And, you know, Kentucky might show up and be the team this season that's shown up against Tennessee or, you know, whooped Auburn at home. But I just have no faith that in a one game knockout, you know, kind of crapshoot scenario that Kentucky basketball is going to rise to the occasion, which is probably a more of a damning indictment on just how up and down and Jekyll and Hyde this season has been. But anyone who stands there and tells you for certainty whether Kentucky will win or lose tomorrow is absolutely lying to you, because they have no idea what kind of product the team is going to have out on the court. You have no idea how certain players will fare in this kind of NCAA tournament setting. I mean, for all we know, Oscar Sheboy could throw another elbow at the wrong moment and, you know, the game gets completely changed 8 minutes into it. So it's just so volatile and so unpredictable that I'd almost err on the side of thinking what I've seen before is going to happen again, which would likely be Kentucky maybe hanging around, maybe getting out to an early lead, and then just kind of going through a period of not getting anything to fall, not running any discernible offense. And also Providence in their own right, Bryce Hopkins having a great season, Ed Cooley, well-coached team. So I guess that's kind of where I lay down on it. And also just for bracket purposes, I mean, most people who have Kentucky winning this game probably have them getting bounced by Jerome Tang in the Cats at some point, you know, in the round of 32. So kind of a, you know, a low ceiling, high floor proposition to pick Providence for the 11-6 upset.
All right, there we go. There's our guy, Cam Drummond, the ire of BBN, stabbing John Vincent Calipari in the back.
They're coming at you,
standing, stabbing Daryl Bird in the back.
Yeah, not Daryl.
If nothing else, people should be happy with me. I'm on a, you know, a 2-year streak of picking Louisville to win the Governor's Cup, and you see how that's gone. So I should be paraded around Lexington
for picking
Providence to win this game.
You picked Louisville this past season? Oh,
I did.
Damn.
Dribble just vomited. Dribble vomited. Dribble vomited.
Scott Satterfield to win a football game against Kentucky?
Listen,
you are new to this, aren't you?
Oh, Cam.
If I was good at predicting the outcome of sporting events, I would not be a sports writer, all right? I'd be in Vegas right now. I'd be offshore.
Cam.
Brandon Lang.
Anyway, yeah, I think Issel's mad. Issel's mad at you. I love Issel. Issel's mad that I'm mad the Lexington Herald Leader didn't ask any of us for their expert picks.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's one story, but the Issel's like, well, they didn't ask me. I'm like, Issel, you take a shot at all of their writers except for Cam.
Exactly.
And they don't care about Cam. No offense. I'm kidding.
Nothing made me quite as happy as getting like a 10:30 a.m. text from Louie just saying 90 seconds of Issel mad at the HL, parentheses, Issel mad at you. That means that I've made it. That 680 is constantly thinking about me. I've left an impact.
Yes. All right, Cam. Appreciate it. Cam Drummond, Lexington Herald Leader, following the Cats as they get ready to go here March Madness tomorrow night. Appreciate the time, man. Take care.
All right, good stuff. Enjoy the tournament, guys.
Indiana.
Zach Osterman following the Hoosiers for the Indianapolis Stars. Zach, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
How are we doing?
We're doing fine. Pressers this afternoon, little Rob Senderhoff. I believe Indiana spoke as well. What was the message from both sides as we get ready for this one tomorrow night?
Yeah, nothing overly surprising. I think everybody deferential toward one another. Indiana, obviously very respectful of Kent State's ability to pressure the ball, ability to force mistakes and turnovers, and you know, Kent State and Rob Senderhoff, I think, confident and justifiably so, but still very sort of respectful of how good Trace Jackson Davis is, how good Jalen Hood-Schifino is. Senderhoff did get the question, you know, just about kind of why everything did what was done back in 2007 and 2008, and he was polite, but, you know, also just kind of deferential toward saying that he felt like this, you know, he'd rather discuss it at another time and place, which he has a couple times, to be fair. It's not been recent, but, I mean, he talked to me about it 10 years ago when the sanctions officially expired. So no galloping shocks. I think pretty much what you'd expect from the day before NCAA tournament game.
Well, come on, Senderhoff. Give us something.
Yeah,
give us a fireball. How much you hate? Who was the AD there? It wasn't Fred Glass. Who was it? Oh, who was the AD then?
Rick Greenspan was his
name.
Greenspan.
Take a shot at the administration. Do something. I don't know. The locals there, I mean, is this an upset alert game, in your opinion? Or will Indiana be able to pull away second half, show their dominance, they're a Big Ten powerhouse?
I mean, I think it is a potential upset. I think, you know, Kent State's not a team that maybe, at least statistically, can do some of the things you expect from upsets, like hitting a bunch of threes. But on the other hand, they really pressure the ball very well without fouling. They feast on turnovers. You know, their opponents play very slowly, but they don't, primarily because they get teams into situations where either they turn the ball over or they take bad shots, and then Kent State will run quickly off those. They got two really good guards, very experienced guards. Both of them are seniors. And, you know, I mean, Sindorov said today that – sorry if you're the people on the media shuttle at the moment, but Sindorov said today that, you know, Kent State scheduled the road trips to College Charleston, to Houston, to – Northern Kentucky, which is in the NCAA tournament, to obviously Gonzaga, basically with the intention being let's pit ourselves against some teams we're confident are going to be playing at this level, are going to be, you know, in the tournament and, you know, sort of pushing at this level, and let's kind of, you know, prove ourselves there. And they lost three of those four games, but the point is it still, you know, gave them a real sense for what it takes to play teams at that level, and I think they lost those games by 2, 5, and 7 points. So obviously that has Indiana's attention, but it also means you're dealing with a Kent State team that's tough. And I think in particular too, at this time of year, a Kent State team, sometimes lower seeds can maybe feel like they got to be too creative. I think this is going to be a Kent State team that just says, we're going to do what we do. If you can beat it, fair enough, but we're not going to change who we are or what we're about just because of the name on your chest, so to speak.
It's an interesting game. What do you make of Indiana's draw, you know, as it is? What did you make when it came out?
Well, obviously, there's the Samson stuff. In all likelihood, they'd see Kelvin there. But I think this weekend, you know, you've got three very different teams. Obviously, Kent State, very sort of defense-focused. You've got Miami, which is one of the best offensive teams in the country, and also one that has struggled mightily against high major teams, not least in the SEC, but also against the Maryland, some other teams who have scored the ball really well on them, you know, going back to November, December, even through the end of the regular season. And then a Drake team that is just kind of your standard MVC NCAA tournament team. You know, they got a couple really good players. They're well coached. This is going to be Drake's third season in a row, finishing in the KenPom top 100. So, I mean, if Indiana gets out of this pod, and I'm not saying they can't, I think there's a decent chance they will. I also think there's a real chance they could get upset tomorrow night. If Indiana gets out of this pod, though, I think it'll be fair to say they've earned it. And then if they do, then we will, in all likelihood, get the storylines galore of Kelvin Sampson against his former program.
Yes, that would be fantastic. Last one before we get you out of here. You know, I brought this up. It's the way I see it, at least, that this was the big year for IU. I think I've asked you this before, Zach, and we'll get you out of here with this, that this was the big year for IU. And listen, I know they beat Purdue twice, and I know that's a big deal. But, you know, Edie's player of the year in the conference, Edie's player of the year in the tournament. Purdue wins by 3 games the Big Ten, okay? And then we go to the Big Ten tournament. Purdue, of course, wins that. And Indiana loses to Penn State, which is what Indiana does. They lose to teams like that. And I know Penn State's not is an NCAA tournament team. They're not a bum. It's not the Penn State of a decade ago or whatever. But they do all this. Like, this is the last chance for this year not to actually, in the state of Indiana, like almost 100% being about Purdue and not Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think if Indiana can't at least get out of this weekend, I think that probably they would tell you there would be a sense of disappointment. Not that they would feel the whole season was a failure. You mentioned, I mean, they've had some highs, you know, some good moments. It's the first time they've swept Purdue in 10 years, and some other things. But I think if they couldn't at least make the second weekend, I think they would tell you, players, coaches would tell you, that they would feel a certain sense of disappointment. You can't control everything that goes into a season, but I don't think that the one thing I will say is, you know, that there's always kind of this with coaches that get sort of their first cycle. We've always sort of historically sort of said you better take advantage of that. You think about like Tom Crean, for example, and the way that team that he had that was preseason number one kind of peaked with a disappointing exit in the Sweet 16. You know, I do think the portal's changed a lot of that. I think NIL's changed a lot of that. And I think that while, you know, let's say Indiana, you know, doesn't play past this weekend, whether it's Friday night or Sunday, You're obviously going to see, you know, guys like Race Thompson, Trace Jackson Davis, Miller Kopp. I think we can all assume probably Jalen Schifino out the door.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And the team is going to need some substantial sort of, you know, reconstruction. On the other hand, I don't think that the old way of thinking about sort of like, well, you better capitalize on your first cycle because you may not get another one, doesn't quite fit the same way, because you can be active in the portal. And if you're a program like Indiana that I think has done a good job of sort of embracing NIL and trying to figure out how to leverage NIL opportunities for athletes, you know, within the rules, yada, 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 but trying to, you know, really make that a feature of your program, a staple of your program, such that that becomes something players understand is an opportunity for them, is there for them at Indiana, then I think you're always going to get, you know, kind of another act if you want it, and you'll have to, you know, build a team differently. And obviously Indiana's got to figure out a number of things for next season, the departures, Xavier Johnson's waiver to try and come back for a sixth year, so on and so forth. But, you know, I think if, on one hand, I don't think this is sort of some, you know, major sort of irrecoverable failure if Indiana can't get out of the first weekend of the tournament. On the other hand, for this group, for these players, for these seniors and for their coach and their staff, I think they would tell you, you know, in a certain, you know, with a certain degree of honesty, that they would feel like this season was a disappointment if they couldn't do something more than third in the Big Ten, you know, Big Ten tournament semifinal out in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Enjoy all the game. You got a late one there, man.
Yeah.
You got a late
one. Yeah, we'll be,
this could
we'll,
be a close
we'll be,
game,
we'll be
brother.
Up all night with it.
No, you ain't making no damn deadline. You ain't making no deadline. We knew that Kentucky would be at 7:10. We kind of were like, hey, maybe it'll be happening, you know, at 3 o'clock during our show and stuff. Yeah, right. You knew that was going to be 7 o'clock, and then I saw right after that Indiana at whatever time they say, 9:45, whatever lie. Did you see Virginia lose, by the way? Did you see that?
I saw the very end of it. I left the media room when they were up 4 with like 20 seconds left.
Oh,
so
great.
I clearly missed the good times. But yeah, you got to, at this time of year, unfortunately, sometimes you got to put the phone away. So
that's right.
There you go. Not me. Have the phone out, I think, Zach. Appreciate the time, brother. Take care. Enjoy all the games there.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, there we go. A little blitz on a. On a Wednesday or a Thursday, whatever day it is. It's a Thursday.
Thursday. We made it through the blitz.
So yeah, we sound okay there? Do we sound better? I mean, all the people heard.
Sorry
us.
To pound myself back up. Yeah, you were good the whole time.
Most,
yeah, it was clear.
Mostly clean.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's 3:15 to 4 o'clock. That's all it is.
Yeah. I'm not going to jinx anything, but that's
you know, as Strebel goes, yeah, it goes, like, right, the internet did it right with this, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was his veto.
That's
he vetoed.
Me. Yeah.
No, it may
have been a combination, but it was very robotic.
Oh,
so.
My God. Did we have a veto and a skip at the same time?
A robotic veto.
Yeah, it hit
like
perfectly.
That.
I think it's Strebel. Because when I was solo, and then when we did the blitz, we were fine. And then as soon as Strebel said something, it happened.
Maybe it is me.
When you spoke and you vetoed, then it vetoed.
Yeah.
Strebel's the problem. That's what I'm trying. We're a Patino. We're trying to find the fall guy.
Yeah, I'll be a
Strebel's
fall
the fall guy.
The fall guy.
The fall. Gotta have a fall
gotta
guy.
Gotta have a fall guy.
We'll have Bozich in an hour. We'll come back. We'll get you attorney update. And I don't know. We got a bunch of Cal sound. I actually have a C.J. Frederick question.
Wow.
I know that's pathetic
of
and it's
all the
reaching.
Players, yeah.
Well, it's pathetic and it's reaching, and it could be valid.
Okay, so there you go.
I
like it.
I put Arizona in the Final Four in a bunch, both my brackets, I think. So they lead right now 14-6. Make that 16-6. Make it 14-8. That guy's on Princeton. Sorry. I should have known the small white guy was on Princeton.
That doesn't really look like he could dribble very well.
Yeah, it didn't look
scored.
Like he had no hops, yet he scored on Arizona.
So that happened.
Quick break, 437-9680. It's the Take on a Thursday.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
come on, muscle through it.
But then also say,
hey, you should probably see my specialist.
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
8-9 Arkansas. We're writing the game off two weeks in advance. I'm tired of
Stop
it, man.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Arkansas's in the top 20 in the net. So don't come with that 8-10 stuff if you're going to tell me how important the net is.
Okay. Okay. All right. Never mind. I had something prepared, but I'm not going to do it now. Go ahead, Dan.
Are they not in the top 20 in the net?
Go ahead, Dan. No, apparently you did all this research. Go ahead.
I did.
I'll wait. Go ahead.
I did.
And James Strebel.
Go ahead, Dan. Give us all your research. I'm waiting, man. I'll come back in at 10:10, okay?
Oh, please, Louie. Please tell us what you were going to say. Go ahead, Louis.
I'm not talking, Dan. I'm done. I'm done for 7 minutes. Give us all your research. Give us your letter grades. Do all the stuff you do. Read through the box score. Tell us all the stuff you usually do. Go ahead.
Come on, please, Louie. Please, Louie.
It's not going to work. Just talk, Dan. I am feet from the mic.
Oh, no. No. Okay, well, I'll give my take on the game. I thought the most impressive thing, first, my letter grade is an A, because this team is in the top 20 in the net.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So we're back at it. Coming up in about 45 minutes, Rick Bozich, WDRB, will join us. I don't know. The game's going on right now. San Diego State leads by 3 over Charleston, 37-34. I have no opinion on that game. Arizona in one right now with 15-seeded Providence. That one, 22-18, about 7 minutes to go.
Too close ones so going we on, have, everybody.
The ones that the early ones, yeah. Good. The middle couple, not as good.
Blowout city.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got three games. We might need to turn more on. So.
Yeah, we got Illinois. Arkansas is tipping off there. 8-5 Arkansas early on in that one. So, yeah, got more games coming. Is this the best time of the year for college basketball? Let's rock. Let's roll.
Texas says Cal didn't whine about his seeding this year. It would be nuts if they lose. I wonder if he will. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. He'll just do all of that.
Well, Pat Forty brought it up yesterday, but one of the more stunning things was Calipari not whining about the seeding as he does every year. I mean, Pat Forty says it's the annual thing with Cal as he gets mad and he whines about the seeding. I think that was very telling of Calipari and how lucky he feels to even be a sixth seed in the position that he's in and what he thinks about his team going forward. So, yeah, a lot of Calipari here in the next few days, obviously.
Obviously.
And it'll be a crescendo of Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show one way or the other.
Let me ask you this.
And I haven't talked to Big Mike, so I don't
Who's
know.
Big Mike? Oh, Gandalf.
So I haven't heard from him.
Big Mike.
I don't know.
He's not a Big Mike.
I just thought it was funny.
He's not a Big Mike, is he?
His
Twitter account self-identifies as Big Mike.
That's why he's not a Big Mike.
Because he calls himself Big Mike. I didn't even know that. I just threw that out there. I didn't know he called himself Big Mike. That does change things. So let's call him Mike.
Well, can I ask you this? I mean, this guy C.J. Frederick, I'm trying to even look up how many games he's missed. And I should have done that beforehand. But I mean, this guy, he's 6 points a game, shooting 35%. I mean, this is a guy that has made, I mean, in February and March, he hit three threes in that Florida game, and he has won since. I mean, this is a guy who hasn't done anything.
He hasn't.
And I'm not putting it all on him. I want to be clear. This is a collective effort of, at the beginning, Shaedon Sharpe. Okay, at the very, very front end of this, and then it works to, you know, guys not developing. Damian Collins, a tragedy he had, and then also, I'm sorry, I mean, you thought he was making a step from a guy wasn't playing to a guy that would be absolutely in the rotation. He's absolutely not in the rotation.
He's essentially the same player.
And then injuries, Xavier Wheeler, and then things worked out, which made it look even worse for him when they worked out seemingly when he went away. And then Kaysen's missed games. Kaysen maybe is not right now. Mm-hmm. Toppin has missed games, and we go through, and guys are going to miss games, and we go through all of this, And so there are many reasons, there are many injuries, many developmental problems, many Cal coaching problems, and all those other things. I wonder, just speaking about one of them, because it's been one of those castaway, well, he's out. I mean, C.J. Frederick was supposed to come in, provide threes, provide spacing. He did provide confidence and cockiness in a few games. Tennessee on the road being one of those games where he's got the tongue out towards the crowd and everything else. Yeah, and it's like he has kind of been a nothing. And he was supposed to be something.
Right.
And he was supposed to be more than just kind of an average player. He was supposed to be a dead-eye shooter that was going to cure some, a sizable part of the ills that Kentucky had.
Right. And he's 40% at Iowa.
That hasn't happened 1%.
No, he was 48% at Iowa. He was supposed to be, like you said, this dead-eye shooter that comes in. And what's one of the biggest knocks that John Calipari has had as a coach here recently is he doesn't have enough shooters. So Cal brought in Antonio Reeves and he brought in C.J. Frederick. I'm going to give Cal credit on this. He did what he thought he had to do with those two players specifically, bringing those two guys in to shoot threes for Kentucky. Antonio Reeves has lived up to his side of things. I think we can all agree on that. He's done what he's needed to do as a shooter. C.J. Frederick, on the other hand, and as you pointed out earlier, it's not all his fault with the injuries he's had to deal with and some of the other things, but even when he's healthy, he was not somebody that you could say, okay, I know C.J. Frederick's going to hit 2, 3, 4 threes a game and provide us offense. He hasn't done that. And now with the injury coupled with his ineffectiveness before the injury, and as you said earlier, he's giving Kentucky zero. He's been one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in my mind. And you mentioned, I even throw Damian Collins in this. As far as this team and what we're supposed to get from some of these players, C.J. Frederick may be the biggest disappointment thus far. Maybe he goes out in this tournament and he just catches fire. I don't think that'll happen, but he just hasn't been as advertised. You can't go from Fran McCaffrey and lighten it up and go to John Calipari and just be nothing.
To me, it's very feast or famine with this Kentucky team. I really believe that Oscar had the knee injuries, and he was being exploited a little bit, and maybe he had a little bit of a downturn.
Sure.
But still, I mean, Oscar is a second-team All-American.
And he's double-double every night.
So even still, even though we can use that nuance, he is still on the boom side.
Right.
And Cason Wallace is there. And
Toppin's been better than
Toppin
he was
absolutely
be.
Has developed. And yeah. Reeves, I think he's a solid player. I think you're having Reeves have to do too much. I think that's one of the issues.
Sure.
But then you go to the other guys.
Yeah.
And that's you go the problem. To Wheeler. And you go to C.J. Fredericks, and you go to Damian Collins.
Chris Livingston,
and you
even.
Go, I mean, well,
living, at times.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Livingston's the only one that's in the middle.
He's the only one. Yeah.
The rest of them, I feel very much I can say, if you want to say, Cal developed, Kentucky, this is a good experience. I gave you the guys. And then if you want to say the other guys, and C.J. Frederick, for what his specialty was supposed to be, to me is even more valuable than Wheeler.
Oh, 100%. I mean, how many of these games could he have opened up for Kentucky or just, like, make the defense respect what he's done? Because Wheeler has his limitations. We know what he can do, what he can't do. C.J. Frederick has been a liability at times. And here's the sad thing, Andy. Not the sad thing, but just one of the things that I find confusing. Wheeler has gotten the lion's share of the blame for some of Kentucky's woes. And it was almost celebrated when Wheeler went out and Kentucky got better and people wanted to do the I told you so thing. But what C.J. Fredericks does or supposed to do compared to what Wheeler is supposed to do, man, those things aren't the same. We saw Xavier Wheeler last year. We know what his game is. We expected what he did last year just to carry over this year. Now, he's been a little worse than last year, but that's another thing. What C.J. Frederick was supposed to do has not carried over
at all.
One bit.
At all.
And it's like, you want to pile on Wheeler and all this other stuff, man. There's other guys on this team that are to blame for the woes of this team.
I'm asking a what if. I'm asking what if, like, this guy was good for about three threes a game, and instead of shooting 35%, was shooting 48%.
Then we don't talk about losing to Vanderbilt twice. Then we don't talk about getting upset by South Carolina. Then we don't talk about getting beat by Georgia on the road. I mean, these are games where the point
margins. Trying to see if he played in some of those games. I don't think he did.
Well, even if
he played Georgia at home, that's where they won. They won that game by six. Now, he was in the South Carolina. I mean, he played a lot. He's actually 14 against South Carolina.
Oh, he did. Okay, he did.
Yeah, so that's not his fault. He actually hit 2 threes.
So he actually did.
That's the time where he was playing. If you remember,
he had a stretch where he was okay.
It was South Carolina, that Tennessee game, Georgia, A&M.
Which they won
Vanderbilt,
that.
Kansas, Ole Miss, Florida, and then you got to February, and it's been nothing. He's been 8 points in February and March.
Yeah, that's total. And again, I before texters get mad at me, I understand he's hurt. He has a rib issue and everything.
No, but that's part of what. No, that's what I'm
saying.
That's
part of the game, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's encompassing of his injuries, and when he's been in there, he hasn't been what you thought he was going to be. I'm asking, all-encompassing, if he was what he was advertised.
Then we're sitting in a different situation.
Yeah, where is Kentucky? It's important to remember that the reason you were so excited about this season was Wheeler out, was C.J. Frederick. He was a starter out.
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, and Damian Collins, not developing into a guy that can come in and play.
Right. And you mentioned earlier.
Those are the big three to me.
Yeah, no, those are the big three.
You could say Livingston.
I would say Livingston, just to the fact that it just took
recruiting people told you a little bit. Livingston was going to take some time.
There's a motor issue with him.
Going to take some time.
Yeah, he wasn't a plug-and-play type dude, like Case Wallace is. And Oscar Tshiebwe and his – I don't know if he was rushed to play too soon or whatever it was, but like he wasn't right, and we weren't getting the full story there. There's just a litany of things that happened to this Kentucky team. I'm not saying like if everything went as well as it could have, I wouldn't say they're like a one seed. But I think if you put your scenario out there, Andy, where Frederick is as advertised, where Wheeler's healthy, and where Damian Collins is some type of rim protector that plays, just give me 7-10 minutes a game. That's all. 7-10 minutes a game.
But you said a rim protector,
right?
A guy that can be around the bucket and dunk. And it's not when he contributes that it's found money. I feel like with so many guys on Kentucky's team that it's found money.
And you're shocked. Like, oh my gosh, they did that? Like, wow. Damian Collins had 8 points?
If Damian Collins played 12 minutes and had 6 points and 3 rebounds against Providence, which absolutely could happen.
It could, yeah.
And let's see, who else? And CJ went out and knocked down 3 threes and was pointing to the crowd, something you haven't seen in a month,
right.
Month and a half. I mean, all those things, they would be surprising things.
Yeah.
And at least one of them was supposed to be a backbone. I mean, whether you like it or not, C.J. Frederick was supposed to be a backbone member of this team.
He was treated like
he was a starter.
Yeah, he started.
He was going to be a starter in many of these games.
But I think if all these things had gone well, Andy, instead of looking at a 6 seed, you're looking at a 3 seed. You know what I mean? Like, I still think this team would lose games. They still would have defensive issues.
I mean,
there'd still be some lulls hill in there.
It'd be great. Last year, the same thing happened. Everyone,
right.
everyone celebrated.
Everyone celebrated, yeah.
I don't know. Kentucky was so well-respected, Strebel. I mean, think of the Georgia twice against Vandy, South Carolina, the way they played at Rupp Arena, giving up a quad one win early in the season against Michigan State, getting blown out by legit teams.
Yeah,
I mean, I know you beat Arkansas. They also blew you out like you beat them down.
Right.
I mean, UCLA, Gonzaga, having the Louisville win, usually that would be a quad one. If nothing else, a quad two at home.
Right.
And I hate even bringing up the net, and that meant nothing. And I don't know, you just kind of add it all together, and they were still a 6 seed.
In face of all of that, it's like they're still, that was one of the most surprising things as I was thinking of that on the way over here, and listening to, you know, you and Justin talk at the beginning of the show, and then being a 6 seed, it's like, they've lost 11 games and they're still a 6 seed. And, like, one of the better 6 seeds.
Yeah.
I mean, they still have, like, travel-wise, there's Greensboro's 5 hours away, 6 hours away, wherever that is. New York's not that bad. People, fans would like to go to New York City. I mean, hell, BBN going to New York City, how about that? We've got to hear about Jack Dempsey's if they make it that far. And, oh, we got to watch the game between Franklin and Jack Dempsey's.
I'm so tired of hearing about Jack Dempsey.
If they somehow make it to there, Andy, we're going to have to do that same song and dance about Jack Dempsey's once again. So this is going to be such a what-if season for Kentucky, in such a season where John Calipari, I feel, is going to be frustrated, and he's going to do the thing where he calls guys out. I fully believe that, not by name, but you remember when, after the Jared Vanderbilt season, where he's like, I'm not going to let guys hijack my program ever again. He won't use those strong words, but I do think
he loves this team. He's talked about loving this team.
I don't know. I think he's been frustrated with this team at times. He says he loves every team.
Well, then he needs to get better players.
Well, that's
I hate to say it.
Andy, that's part of it.
Well, no, I mean, he needs to get better players then. I mean, please. Yeah. I think, again, this is part of the problem. Some of these guys maximized everything, and some of them did not. Do we still have a few minutes? I know we took a long break earlier. Do we still have a few minutes? You want to clear a quick break here, Justin, and then dive into the 5 o'clock hour? Does that sound okay?
Yeah, we can do that. I move stuff around, so it's longer than it needs to be, but. Ooh.
A little moving around.
Yeah.
A little moving and shaking.
A Thursday movement.
A little Furman and Furman. What a great day for him. What a great day for Justin.
Furman wins, and the Furman's doing stuff on the
He's moving spots.
He's moving spots.
He's moving a spot on a Thursday.
Move a spot to Locke. How about that? Can you do involve
I do love Locke. His wife has put something on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Carolyn's like, it's quiet around the house.
No,
good.
No.
Hope he's in the reading a book. A Colin Powell book.
A magazine. He's reading Golf Pro.
I hope he's reading a Golf Pro.
Golf Pro.
That's
magazine.
What I. Southern Home. Southern Housekeeping. There's Southern Living.
Southern Living.
437-9680. Very quick break. 5 o'clock hour. We get it going next.